Our theme this month is the spirit of activism, and our speaker this morning, Sue Graff, certainly represents activism. When what I need now is the mobile outreach, and how many of you saw it out on the street this morning? You can't miss Viterbo University. She has worked in banking, the ministry, and special education prior to WIN. Sue has been recognized for her work with the homeless community and received many awards. I'm very proud to introduce Sue this morning.
Thank you very much for inviting me to your fellowship today. And I want to point out that Brian Holliday, my partner in WIN, is also here. My journey began when I was asked to volunteer at the Winter Warming Center, the night-by-night shelter. And the first night I walked in to volunteer, I saw two of my childhood friends who were now adults, unsheltered. And I was surprised. I guess I didn't know much about the homeless situation in La Crosse. We could take 15 people. We were rarely full. Then we outgrew that in just a few short years, moved to the Warming Center downtown. I continued to serve as a volunteer. And then in 2018, I was asked, invited to take a full-time job as the coordinator of the daytime drop-in center, the Franciscan Hospitality. Heat or air conditioning, depending on the season, food, take a shower, do their laundry. We treated people with love, dignity, and care there. In March of 2020, we all remember what happened when the world shut down because of COVID. The hospitality house closed simultaneously with that for a leasing situation. We had shared a building with a church. So on that day, Brian and I threw some needed things in the trunk of my car, because if you were in shelter, you were locked in shelter. If you were outside, you were literally locked out of everywhere. Downtown La Crosse was a ghost town. Quick Trip was the only thing that remained open. So we threw in hand warmers, bottled water, some snacks, thinking, I guess, at the time that it was a temporary thing. A year later, we were still out in my car helping people, going to them 7 days a week with much needed supplies. And someone suggested we create a nonprofit. So in May of 2021, we became a 501c3 registered nonprofit. Never splashed it out there, just people would call and ask what we were doing or hear about it and started helping us to financially support this new journey. In the spring of 2022, so a year later, we had a grant writer join our board and received a generous grant from the La Crosse Area Community Foundation and several churches. And we're able to purchase the van. If you remember, vehicles were hard to get. And we had put the word out at the different dealerships, and this bright yellow van became available. And I don't know about the yellow, but it's turned out to be going for his Eagle Scout Award, heard about us, and designed and built the shelving and put in the flooring and insulation kit so we could operate not picking stuff off the floor out of boxes. We continue to operate out of a van and a storage unit to keep costs low. We rely totally on the financial support of individuals and churches, some local grant funding, but no government support. We provide basic clothing, hygiene products, and our tagline is, when someone comes to the van and says, well, what do you have? I say, if we don't have it, you don't need it right now. In addition to meeting the immediate needs of the people, we build trusting relationships with each individual. We know their names, and in conversation, we can help figure out what their other barriers are to shelter or treatment or other clothing closets, employment, and we make referrals for them. Sadly, there just isn't enough shelter in La Crosse. The Salvation Army can take 67 people, and they are perpetually full. The Winter Warming Center will open November 1st through April 30th, and they can take 34 more people. Who are these people we serve? Every person that we serve has experienced some sort of traumatic event for which they did not have support to recover, or they've lived a lifetime of trauma. We're seeing some generational poverty, homelessness. We serve grandma, adult kids, and now they're adult kids. I've come to realize that poverty, mental health, addiction, homelessness, it's like the chicken and the egg. What comes first? Always trauma at the root of it. The people we serve are from 18 to 87 years old. 30% of them are women. We're in special education. Some are in wheelchairs. We serve two folks that are deaf. We also serve people with bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, and at one point we were serving a retired neurosurgeon from Mayo. Homelessness can happen to anybody. In 2023, we started tracking who we were serving, numbers, that sort of thing, just a little bit for our own information and to share with people that were interested in knowing. 2023, we served 380 named individuals. Not all of them are, I don't want you to think that this is the number of people staying outside, because it's not. Some folks are very marginalized. Some are homeless, get housing, a variety of situations. In 2024, there were 478. If someone comes to our van and wants something, whether it's deodorant or socks, we give it to them. We don't require them to give us their name. We don't have a stipulation, you must be unsheltered. Someone comes and asks for something, we give it to them. We collaborate with other local resources, agencies, and local government, and we go to the people wherever they are. Right now, we visit the La Crosse Public Library frequently, Copeland Park. There are several parks downtown, but La Crosse, I don't know if you know this, but all the parks are fenced off now. They say the downtown parks are fenced off to clean them up, but no cleaning has been done. So, and the Northside parks are fenced off for winterizing the bathrooms, but it's been over 2 weeks. We know where to find people, though, and if we can't find them, they know how to get a hold of us through the Facebook page. Another thing that we started doing, we collaborate with the Driftless Recovery House, which is a supportive housing for folks in recovery, for men in recovery. We do something called More Than a Meal, where we offer hot food at a specific location, haircuts, a free raffle for prizes, gift cards, and things like that, to try to bring the unsheltered community together with other members of the community, sit down over a meal, and get to know each other as individuals. We believe each person is a unique individual worthy of respect. We don't judge people. We have never refused service to anyone, except for one guy, just for the day. He just couldn't settle down, but the next day we welcomed him back. We understand that people experiencing homelessness are often in pain, physical or emotional, lonely, hungry, tired, hot, cold, suffering from a lack of sleep, mental illness, and or addiction. And when we look deeper than a person's current situation, we can better understand and make build a trusting relationship with them. Homelessness affects someone's mental and physical health. Each person has unique gifts and skills. There are poets among the group, musicians. When they write. Some of them are prolific writers about their experiences. There's some comedians too. We are equitable in our service in that we don't hand out, here's a bag of what we think you need. We ask each individual, what do you need today? Not everybody needs socks, deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrush. So they tell us what they need and we fill the bag. Homelessness is a humanitarian crisis in our communities. Right now, our neighbors that experience homelessness have no place to even be able to set up a tent. Camping is banned everywhere on city property. We witness success stories and celebrate achievements with people. People over, I'm back in school. The goal, but until then, we will continue to plant the seeds of kindness and love, dignity and respect, encouragement, and serve compassion, helping each person to survive until they can thrive. Thank you for listening.
How do people find the van? I realize it's yellow and must stand out. Are there certain places you tend to go where they know to find you?
Yes, that's a good question. We try to visit each place equitably, so we don't have a schedule, and I refuse to have a schedule because, like, say I say I'm going to be somewhere at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and then you all invite me to speak, and I'm not there. So we visit each place equitably, so a couple times a week to each spot, and then the folks know how to reach out to us through our Facebook, social media. Many have my phone number. And we are always happy to help if we can. We're not on call 24/7, though. Someone called one night and asked for pizzas and soda. I'm like, you want Pizza Hut, not Sue Graff.
Actually,
most of the people we serve do have cell phones. Those are government provided. And ring or contact your case manager or your family without a cell phone. So it's really, cell phones are not a luxury. They're really a necessity. And in the event of an emergency, cell phone's important too.
I have a couple of questions. One, when you said the parks were closed or fenced, mm-hmm. does that mean they're locked at some point? Or
they're locked all the time. No one currently can enter Cameron or Burns Park or the restroom shelter area at Copeland and the Northside Beach. No plan yet.
My other question was, what else is in your work background that drew you to this, or how did you get to start doing this and when?
Sure. So in 2020, when the hospitality house closed, I was 59 years old. Just if you're doing the math, I'm 65 now. And we just responded to a need. I didn't think, oh, I think I'll make a nonprofit. We were just responding to a need of human beings and fellow friends that we had gotten to know, that we had served, that I had served for years. They were locked out, cold. People at home were community meals. No shelters went on lockdown. If you were inside on that day, you were locked in. If you were outside, you were literally locked out of everywhere. Just responding to a need, and this is what happened. Be careful, folks.
Hi, kind of a two-part question. You had mentioned that this started with you in 2011, and that the first shelter you were working with, you had a space for 15 people, and you were rarely filled. So the first question I'm wondering is, how have things evolved since then? I'm assuming it's much worse, but how much mm-hmm. worse is it? And then in your time, you know, watching this, you know, I understand each person's story is an individual story, but also, are there any particular trends that you see exacerbating the problem?
Sure. So the problem has grown, I think, for a variety of reasons. Lack of affordable housing, low wages, people in poverty, just working full-time, don't make enough to afford the rent in La Crosse. The other difference thing I've seen is there used to be several hundred landlords in La Crosse that each owned several rentals. Now it's owned by three companies, not all, but it's the number of places that you can rent from has decreased. And I also think it's become kind of an, I don't know if it's an acceptable way of life, but it's become an accepted way of life for folks. Like I said, we served grandma back in 2011. Now we're serving her adult kids and their adult kids. It's how they grew up. I think we have a lot of broken systems. I also know we have a whole lot of people that care about our unsheltered folks. That's best I can answer how I think we got here. 90% or more of the people we serve grew up in the Coulee region. And I know this because I'll ask, when we start to build a rapport, what their name is. Then I'll say, I went to La Crosse Central. Where did you go? And it's almost always, we serve folks that came from Winona, La Crescent, Cashton, Bangor, those little communities. But they come to La Crosse for the resources, just like all of us, maybe drive to La Crosse to shop at Woodman's, because you don't have a Woodman's here. And they congregate downtown, usually in those parks, because that's close to resources. The Salvation Army gives out a sack lunch every day, so they want to be nearby there. Both shelters are right downtown. The St. Clair Health Mission is right downtown. So that's why people tend to congregate in those parks.
Applies to homeless. Have you encountered any pushback from the City of La Crosse for providing services to the homeless?
No, we really have not. We've been asked to not park in a private parking lot to serve people, so we respect that. We park in a legit parking spot when we're out serving. I feel like we're very supported by, for the most part, by the city and by the police. I don't know how somebody could possibly say that. And I've heard this before. It's been brought to my attention. Well, if you weren't treating them so good, they wouldn't be coming here. And when you think about it, anybody who would come to stay outside in Wisconsin in the winter, because I'm giving out socks and hand warmers and bottled water and pudding cups and sandwiches, that just doesn't make sense. I have never met anyone yet that said, yeah, I came to La Crosse because I heard you guys treated everybody so good. It's just not true.
A couple months ago, I went to listen to a NAMI speaker, and she talked about how we don't have a broken mental health care system in this country. We've just never had. Pretend, what would you do if you had supreme power in terms of mental health, chemical addiction, and other issues like that? And I realized that's a big question, probably impossible, because there's like a number of different things, but where would you start if you were queen?
I'm still stuck on the queen part of it, yeah. Just kidding.
You would be a great queen.
You know, one, somebody asked me once, if someone gifted Wynn $1 million, what would you do? And I'm like, well, I think one thing to try, something to try might be to have a campus, like kind of like what you'd have for college. And on the first floor, you have mental health, dental health. Closest place to La Crosse is Madison for someone on Badger Care or whatever you call it. Addiction treatment options, and then kind of the first floor, you'd share a room with people, kind of a dorm setting. You need to get off the drugs. You know, the drugs are not the beer and pot we had when we were younger. The drugs are hardcore things, and they're not, people don't start using those drugs because, oh, that looks like fun. They do it to dull pain. And we're totally lacking in those. Mental health is coming a little farther. Gunderson is pretty proactive, or Amplify Health now. But I think a graduated thing where people felt come as you are, but if you want to change, you move up. Now you only share a room with one other person. Because people didn't get here, it took them years to get where they are. They're not going to change overnight. I do believe I was part of the Beyond the Bridge Solutions to Homelessness event in La Crosse. The documentary is great. Housing first, yes, but with support. Just plucking someone out of the group and dropping them in an apartment and say, expecting them to do what we all did this morning, got up, made our coffee, got dressed, came here. We know probably where we're going from here. When you're unsheltered, you can only think in the moment. And the longer you're unsheltered, the harder it is to acclimate to a more routine lifestyle. I won't say normal, because that's just a setting in a dryer. Because I don't know if there is anything such as normal anymore. You know, families look different. But people need housing first, yes, but with support. And some creative solutions are needed. Supportive housing. You got your own room, but you got community meal. The reason people gather together is for community. Like, we're all gathered here this morning. Our folks are all gathered over in La Crosse, probably under the acceptance. Yes.
Sue.
Oh, sorry. And I just absolutely loved the hospitality house. We saw an average of 75 people a day that came in and out for help there. It just became my passion, and I have, you know, had a lot of Christ on Bundy there. And I think, you know, I'm a Christian, and I think my belief that each human being has dignity and value no matter what. Nobody deserves to freeze to death. Two people did last winter, and one guy lived for 3 weeks in the hospital, and no one deserves that. And he didn't ever do anything atrocious. He never hurt anybody himself. So it's just been a growing compassion. I kind of feel like it's a calling for what I do. And I'm hoping, of course, in the next future that someone younger comes along with the same passion I have. I don't ever yell back at people. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brian. Do I yell at people? You know, when somebody can't behave appropriately at the van, I just say, you know, you're going to have to take a break here and move away from the van, because I can't hear what other people are saying with all your yelling. So just, you know, just kind of an evolution of my compassion and skills and a need out there. Thank you.
I think we have time for... Thank you.